Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. We are presented by Bosky Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration for service. Call 444-7200. Of course, that's area code 505. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. We are joined in studio this afternoon by Pastor Jesse Lusco. Jesse, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Hey, great to be here with you, Jim Williams. Always something I always look forward to.
Well, you know, I'm trying as hard as I can to get you on the radio more often. So we've got a nice schedule.
Yeah.
Today,
got a lineup.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about stress, anxiety, and depression. And Jesse, let's just get right to it. Why is it that you have become You feel like there's a calling on your life, don't you, to work with people and encourage people that are dealing with stress, anxiety, and depression?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that in part it's because I've been directly affected by these things, and I've experienced it, and it really is an epidemic in our culture, in our day and age, that so many people are facing. There's so much research on this, and even in 2020, through all the crises that we've been facing, with the pandemic and different things, it's even on the rise even more. But even prior to that, there's been so much research showing that from between 1999 and 2017, there was a 33% increase amongst Americans battling anxiety and depression. And, Blue Cross Blue Shield, one of their doctors, predicts that by 2030, depression could be the number one cause of loss of longevity of life. And so that's Dr. Trent Haywood. He just says that there's been such an exponential increase. And then amongst young people and people in my generation, millennials, and then even the generation below me, Generation Z, there's been a 47% increase amongst millennials, 91%, this is actually from last year, from 2019, 91% of Gen Z say they've experienced anxiety or depression in the previous year. I mean, think about that, 91%. These are probably your sons, your daughters, maybe you're listening to this, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews, 91% of them say that they've experienced anxiety or depression in the past year. It really is mind-blowing, and we could talk a lot about the different reasons for that and discuss it, but it's something that it's one thing for it to be a statistic, it's one thing for it to be just a number that's so hard to get your head around, thinking about millions and millions of Americans or millions and millions of people around the globe facing it. But behind every statistic is a story, and behind every number is a name. And, I'm one of those people. I've battled with depression. I didn't get actually like diagnosed or, deal with it clinically until I was 27. But I look back on my high school years and all the way back into middle school after my parents got divorced. Now that I have been diagnosed with manic depression, or what's also called bipolar, I realized, man, that's what I was dealing with. Like I would when I was in middle school and high school and stuff, I would just like put on headphones and go out to the edge of the field and just sit by myself and like lay there, and I was active. I was still involved in skateboarding and sports and different things, but I was going through clinical depression. And then during my, junior year, one of the seniors, on his 18th birthday, he went with a friend and bought a shotgun, and then disappeared, and nobody knew where he was. And, I went to a relatively small school, private school. And, my friend, he was a friend of mine. I just started becoming friends with him. We had gone on a retreat together and started hanging out and talking. And, my friend Dan Brown, he killed himself with a shotgun, a few days after his 18th birthday. And so, those experiences, both in my own personal life and even the loss of that friend, was really, really profound for me. And so it has given me a desire and a passion to address these topics head on and not beat it around the bush.
Jesse, when you're talking about this, I know how you were raised. You were raised in the church. You were surrounded by a lot of people that were Christians, or that are Christians even today. And maybe a lot of those people didn't even know you were dealing with some of this stuff.
Yeah.
How has the reaction of the church changed over the years that you've observed?
Yeah, I do think that, for sure back in like the 80s and the 90s, there was kind of a, sort of a contempt and a real distrust around, psychology and psychiatry. And I think that was for, you know, varied reasons. For one hand, on the one hand, there was sort of the, health, wealth, prosperity gospel that teaches, like, if you're a person of faith, you'll always be happy, you'll always be joyful, you'll never get sick. And, you know, Pastor Skip was even speaking on this recently, just that's heresy. That's not, biblical teaching. That's not at all what the Bible teaches. I mean, look at Joseph. He's incredibly godly. He suffers immensely. Look at Job. Incredibly. God says he's the most righteous man on the earth. He goes through horrendous suffering. Look at our Lord Jesus. Obviously, not only is he the most righteous human, he's God, and his life is full of suffering. You know, he's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And, you know, you could go on with Paul. I mean, just basically pick anybody in the Bible, they suffer and all the heroes suffer. And so, the idea that if you trust God, you won't ever suffer is a completely unbiblical idea, completely unbiblical notion. But I think along with that, there was some, real distrust around mental health and a real stigma and a taboo amongst Christians, even amongst ones who weren't prosperity, thinking because of kind of the origins of, psychology in the modern era. So like Sigmund Freud, who was obviously a huge figure in that, he actually said in a letter to a friend, like, I am religion's chief enemy. He said that in a letter to a friend, like he had every intention of being the enemy of the faith, the enemy of Christianity. And so you can understand why there was some reluctance and hesitation towards wanting anything to do with psychology. But what's fascinating is that prior to Sigmund Freud, Christians were actually the ones leading the charge. You know, there's a woman named Dorothy Dix, who she was instrumental in transforming the way people with mental illness were treated in the United States. And she campaigned and championed the cause of treating people with mental illness more humanely. There's another gentleman from France, and I've got his name written down. His name was Felipe something. I'll look it up after the break and get back to you on it. But anyways, he had revolutionized the way people with mental illness were treated in France, and he took over one of the hospitals in France and cut the chains off of. They were in dungeons. They were being treated horrifically, but he went in and cut the chains off of them and started treating these. They were called lunatics back then, and you know, they weren't violent. Like when they started being treated with dignity and compassion and love, he just saw remarkable transformations in them. And then nowadays there are Christians who have learned from psychology and learned from some of the secular insights, but then at the same time not allowed them to ever overshadow what clear biblical teaching teaches. And there are really amazing Christian psychologists who are hardcore, incredible, you know, psychologists who have Bibles on their desks when you go and see them, and who are never going to lead you astray. And I think that we should have a willingness to learn from what science teaches, because all truth is God's truth, and God is the one who created the universe. And the doctrine of common grace is really important here, because in the book of Daniel, Daniel says that God is the one who gives all knowledge and wisdom and understanding. The book of Proverbs, it says, I have this right here on my notes. The book of Proverbs, I love this verse. It says in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, this is from the Common English Version. It says, all wisdom comes from the Lord. So do common sense and understanding. or in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20, he's in Babylon. This is a secular, technologically advanced, sophisticated, economic, military power, the Babylonian Empire. And God is speaking Nebuchadnezzar, humbling him. And he says, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to all who have understanding. Chronicles says the same thing. It says, both riches and honor come from you. You reign over all. In your hand is power and might. You make great. You give strength to all. Anybody who has any kind of insight, you know, if you go see a doctor, right? Like, yes. I would imagine, right? Like what's a sickness that you faced in your life at some point, Jim? Just any kind of sickness.
Well, a lot of knee injuries,
right?
Yeah.
You know, if you go and see, some kind of an orthopedic surgeon who does knee surgery, he may not know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But he may have insights about your knee, correct?
Yes.
It doesn't matter if he's an atheist or a Buddhist or a Muslim. That's the doctrine of common grace. God is the one who gives that doctor the wisdom and the ability. Who created your doctor's brain? The orthopedic surgeon. God did,
yes.
Right? So ultimately, all wisdom comes from God. Now, obviously, we always need to make whatever kind of worldly wisdom there is subservient to the Bible. And anytime somebody says something that's, Oh, you're not a sinner. Those guilt feelings, they don't matter. Hey, that's whack. That's Sigmund Freud nonsense. That's psychobabble. You know, we always need to make the scripture preeminent and filter it through it. But anyways, I really appreciate, the fact that there are Christian psychologists who have, you know, seen the legitimate insights that God has given, scientists and other, academics and, have found ways to use those insights.
This has really been identified now as a medical condition.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which it wasn't treated that way maybe, let's say, 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It was created, a psychological disorder wasn't necessarily a medical condition.
Mm-hmm.
But now they have all kinds of ways to treat it medically and, you know, with drugs, exercise, diet. All of those things seem to be having a major impact. Jesse, this is way before your time, but I'm thinking my brain, probably I have a degree of, you know, ADHD times about 10, but I'm thinking in my mind as you're talking about this, about a movie, very famous movie with Jack Nicholson called One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And as you were talking and describing how people reacted when they were loved and cared for as opposed to being chained up in a dungeon, that's exactly what that movie's about.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
McMurphy, the character Jack Nicholson plays, starts giving attention to these people. And I remember a basketball game. Of course, that's where my brain goes, where they have this giant Native American man that goes down underneath the basket and he throws him a pass and everybody's cheering and having fun. And you can see for that brief moment.
Yes.
Almost healing taking place in the lives of these individuals that have all kinds of disorders.
Yes, absolutely.
And so what you're describing is, you know, the secular community picked up on that many, many years ago. That movie's got to be 40 years old now.
Yep. That is so right on. And, you know, that's really what Jesus came to do, right? Isn't that like the very heart of the gospel is that Jesus, he went to the lepers. And he went to the prostitutes and the blind and the lame and you know, in ancient cultures, they didn't want to touch those people. They didn't want to go near those people. They were outcasts, but Jesus went to those people and, it was absolutely incredible the way that had an impact on, civilization and culture. And, that's what I was getting at earlier. Saying that some of the earliest like spokespeople in history for treating people with mental illness like they were human were motivated by their Christian faith. That was what was motivating them to do that and to bring those revolutions. So like I just found this guy's name. There was a French physician named Philippe Pinel, and he lived in 1745 to 1826, and he had actually studied to go into the ministry. He had studied to go into clergy, but he ended up becoming a physician. And in the name of Christ, he cut the chains off the madmen in his asylum, considering them to be sick instead of treating them like criminals. And he treated them with kindness and compassion. And, you know, everybody expected that they'd all go crazy and overrun the asylum and murder him and something. But instead, he saw a huge, massive improvement. And he's considered the founder, Felipe Pinel is, I may be pronouncing that wrong, but he's considered the founder of modern psychiatry. And then, like I said before, Dorothy Dix did the same thing. She went to the Massachusetts state legislation and, she said that the way they were treating him, she said, "I dishonor you and I divest you of your Christianity."
Yeah.
Because the way they were treating these people wasn't in the spirit of Jesus. And, it's pretty interesting. Bishops and monks actually, as Christianity spread through the Roman Empire, you know, 1,000 years before all this, bishop and monks took lunatics and brought them into their monasteries and cared for them because they wanted to treat them like they were in the image of God. And so now on into modern times, guys like Carl Rogers, who wasn't a Christian, and not all of his insights are accurate, you know, not everything that he said, but Carl Rogers, is one of the most influential people in modern psychology. And a big part of his mentality was that you should treat people not just like they're subservient to you or less than you, but really treat your patients like their clients, treat them like they're individuals, treat them humanely, listen to them. And he just has these quotes about how like freeing and liberating it is just to have somebody who listens to you and validates you and makes you feel loved, makes you feel cared for. And, I think that's what Jesus is talking about and what Paul is talking about when Paul says that we should weep with those who weep and we should rejoice with those who rejoice and that we should bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, all truth is God's truth. And even though Carl Rogers wasn't a Christian, Romans chapter 2 says that, you know, sometimes we give occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme and that sometimes Gentiles who don't have the law of God actually sometimes live more in accordance with the way of God. That doesn't mean they're going to go to heaven because the only way to go to heaven is in the name of Jesus. But we can see flickers of the image of God in people. And I think that's really what Carl Rogers brought in psychology, just treating, and in psychotherapy, just treating people like they're human, treating people like they're loved, being willing to listen to them and empathize with them and weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice.
We are in studio this afternoon with Pastor Jesse Lusko. He is the pastor of Calvary Church Westside. We're talking about stress, anxiety, and depression. Find out a little bit more about Jesse personally in our next segment, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
Serving you and your family. Call Bosky when you want it done right. For heating and cooling, plumbing and more. 24/7 we'll be at your door.
Locally grown, locally owned. Bosky Heating and Cooling. A portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air. Call Bosky and we'll be there.
Here's Ava, the owner of Monroe's.
Dad, I think we're in deep doo-doo.
Is that why everyone keeps buying all the toilet paper?
Actually, New Mexico culture is rich. Plus, Monroe's has red chili, green chili, and the best customers in the world to go with it.
Boy, Dad, you must really love our customers.
I sure do, just like I love you, Stella.
Hey, what about me?
Of course you too, Ava.
Treat yourself to a delicious Monroe's meal. See Monroe's menu at monroeschili.com. Then call in your order to Monroe's on Osuna at 881-4224 or Monroe's downtown at 242-1111 for carryout or free delivery.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
being unshakable in a shaky world. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of vision for life. Have you watched the news lately? Things that were once stable seem to be shaking up. From 9/11 to the financial crisis of 2008 to the wars of recent days across the world, things that were once stable and secure seem to be coming unhinged. How do you parent your children to stability in the midst of a world of instability? How do you find certain peace in the midst of a most anxious and shaky world? Many people turn to false promises of more stuff or to substances to try to alleviate their anxiety. But friend, in Jesus Christ, we have one whom we know will bring stability and an entirely new order of things one day. Revelation 21:6 says, "Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost.'"
Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision, a ministry of Vision for Life Radio at visionforlife.org.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Jesse Lusko in studio with us this afternoon. Sometimes I wish we were just on the radio all the time because our conversations off air are kind of cool too.
Got to save it for radio.
That's right. I sometimes say to you, don't say it.
Yeah.
Because I want to say it on the radio.
Say it on air, yeah.
One of the things that you were just talking about is how beneficial it is for people just to listen and give an ear to someone who is speaking to them and how that can really help them out of stress, anxiety, and depression.
Absolutely. I think that is so critical. You know, I think about Jesus when he comes to the tomb of Lazarus, that he could have walked in and just immediately solved the problem, right? He's going to raise Lazarus from the dead in just a second. But what does he do? He does exactly what we were saying before in the previous segment about weeping with those who weep. It says that Jesus wept, that he snorted with anger. He was furious. He entered in. And so I like to say this, empathize before you theologize or strategize. So empathize before you theologize or strategize. If somebody comes to you and they're depressed, it's so easy to immediately be like, oh my gosh, and you get panicked. Or especially if somebody says, oh man, I've actually had some suicidal thoughts or I'm feeling anxious. It's so easy to just be like, hey, have you trusted God? Have you pleaded the blood? Have you read your Bible? Have you confessed to an all in sin? Have you been to church recently? Have you done this? Have you done that? You know, and just start throwing this heavy burden. You're like, the person's like, I actually feel worse than when I first came up to you. You know, but if you actually take time and you empathize and you just say, man, that is so hard. Tell me about what that's like. Tell me about what you're stressed and you empathize with them. You weep with those who weep. You enter into their sorrow. You really think out the implications of the biblical doctrine of the fall, right? Man, we live in a fallen world. It's broken. Maybe it's not even their fault what they're going through. And this is something that's helpful to bring up what we were bringing up before, that not only did Job and Jeremiah and Paul and you know, all the authors of the Psalms, not only did they experience depression and sadness and these kinds of things, but even some of the heroes of the faith more recently, you know, Charles Spurgeon said, I have dealt with depressions of spirit so great that I hope none of you ever experienced them. He says, I have visited dungeons of despair below the fortresses of sorrow. You know, he says he's visited the dungeons of despair before the fortresses of sorrow. Like it's unbelievable. C.S. Lewis dealt with depression. Just so many people. And so just taking time to empathize and realize we live in a fallen world. I think that's so significant for people. The other thing that I always like to bring up is that, life is multidimensional. Life is multidimensional. And what I mean by that is that there is a physiological dimension to reality, right? God created the physical world. Like, you know, C.S. Lewis has this classic little one-liner where he says, God likes matter. He made it. The physical world's not bad, right? So there's a physiological component to who we are as human beings. Then there's also an emotional, social, psychological component to who we are as human beings. And then there's also a spiritual component. And so you get these people in some churches, you say you're depressed, they're like, oh my gosh, it must be a demon. Like, we must bind that in Jesus' name, or they immediately rush to only the spiritual component. Or then you get secular people, right, who are completely secular, and they say it's all physical. You just need to take this pill, you'll be fine. Diet and exercise, you'll be okay. And then maybe you get other people, and they only want to take the therapy, empathy side of things. Just go and talk and sit with this counselor, and you can keep paying the co-payments, right, right, till the cows come home. Just lie down on the couch. But the Bible actually presents us as multidimensional beings, and I just think about 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah. He's this great man of God. He just had this epic showdown. He's like Raiden from Mortal Kombat, calling down rain and lightning and fire from heaven. And he just like Usain Bolt outran a chariot. He's just this terrific hero of the faith. But then in 1 Kings 19:4, he says like, I've had enough, Lord. Lord, just take my life from me. I'm no better than any of my ancestors. He wants to die. He lies under a tree and asks God to die. But when God comes to him, he doesn't immediately just say, oh, you need to pray more. You need to have more faith. You need to believe more. No, what does he do? The angel of the Lord makes him food and makes him take a nap. And he makes him a delicious breakfast. And then I love it. He gets up and he eats. And then the angel makes him sleep again. And so he actually addresses. And then later he addresses him on kind of the spiritual level and admonishes him. But maybe that's what you need to do. When somebody says they're depressed, like realize, oh my gosh, there could be a physiological thing. Like maybe this person needs to get more sleep. Maybe they need to eat better. Maybe they need some medication. Just like your pancreas needs insulin, right? And if somebody has diabetes, what do they need, right?
They have to have insulin.
Yeah. They have to take that medication. There's a chemical solution. Well, in your brain, there are 65 different neurotransmitters, and there's serotonin, there's norepinephrine, there's GABA, there's dopamine, there's adrenaline. I mean, there's so many in the brain that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But because we live in this fallen, broken world, there are some people that their brain, and like I said, it's multidimensional. We're not just machines. We're not just robots. But one dimension of our reality is the fact that you may have a brain that doesn't have enough serotonin, and that can lead. Serotonin is responsible for feelings of well-being, of peace. If you don't have enough serotonin, you can have anger problems, or you can have depression problems. I think with anxiety, it has to do with GABA and norepinephrine, I believe. And if you don't have those things in the right harmony, the right balance. And sometimes taking a pill may be one component of what needs to happen. Now, super secular people can sometimes be reductionistic in the thing. And I like to think of it like this. We live in a three-dimensional reality, but if you don't address the whole picture, it's like drawing stick figures. It's like drawing stick figures. If you say, oh, just pray, you're drawing a stick figure. Life's more complex than that. Or if you say, oh, just take a pill, the spiritual stuff doesn't matter. That's like drawing stick figures, but the Bible has a three-dimensional conception of who we are as human beings. And so for me, when I got diagnosed with bipolar, it's in part has to do with the fact that my brain sometimes produces too much dopamine. And dopamine is like the party. It's like the woohoo, like let's get wild, let's get crazy. And sometimes my brain produces too much dopamine, and so I sometimes have to take medication that helps limit the amount of dopamine that my brain reuptakes or produces. And we shouldn't shame people or humiliate them, just like you wouldn't humiliate somebody if they had to take medication for their cholesterol. You shouldn't humiliate somebody or oh, you are an inferior class of Christian because you have to take that SSRI or SRRI, antidepressant. It's like, no, just like there are godly Christians who can have cancer, or just like there are godly Christians who can deal with high blood pressure, there can be incredibly faithful Christians who part of their struggle is that maybe their brain isn't producing the right chemicals.
Jesse, we both believe that when you come to faith in Christ, you can be born again.
Absolutely.
But people don't know what that means.
Yes.
part of the reason we're having the show today is not just to make observations about this is why you feel the way you feel and why you will be this way for the rest of your life. We're really here to say, this is why you feel the way you feel. There's issues going on. Let's address them. Mm-hmm. And then God has this unbelievable potential to use you in your life.
Absolutely.
And we're going to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about, we won't name them all, but there are so many famous artists, so many famous composers, so many famous people that had all kinds of mental illness that contributed to our culture and did all kinds of amazing things. That this is very prevalent.
Yeah.
And I want people to know in this show that God wants to use you for some great things. So stay with us. Jesse Lusko will be back right after these messages.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of the other guys, old school, hokey games, and cheesy sales tactics, then come experience something new school at Power Ford. Our approach is simple. We make it all about you. Every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty, complimentary maintenance, and roadside assistance. And we also guarantee that we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. Find your ride at mypowerford.com.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Quality, experience, personal service. Dom Garcia Realty, placing the interest of others first.
I needed to sell my father's house that he had lived in for 65 years. When I was working on the house, Dom stopped by and looked at it. He had the resources and people to help me get the house presentable for a sale. Dom Garcia is a very positive, enthusiastic person. He sees all the positives and not the negatives. Dom worked very hard to make the sale happen. He was always available to answer all my questions and take my phone calls all hours, day or night.
We are a full-service broker that includes working with buyers and sellers, renting, leasing, management, whether residential or commercial.
Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644.
899-4644. Se habla español.
The most important information anyone can receive comes from an understanding of the Bible. Only here do we find direct revelation about all things, about life and relationship with God. Life doesn't always provide us with time or opportunity to break away and study the Bible full time. That's why KNKT is dedicated to presenting round-the-clock teaching by some of the best communicators we can find about Scripture and how it relates to our lives. We need to be exposed to the full counsel of God's Word. And now, KNKT presents a Bible School of the Air. Each Saturday, starting at 9 a.m., KNKT will present Through the Bible, verse-by-verse teachings by Chuck Smith and Chuck Missler. Skip Heitzig, followed by a question-and-answer session with Scott Richards. We'll be rotating through the Old and New Testament, so drop into our Bible journey at any time and go through the entire Word of God with us. The KNKT Bible School of the Air. Tuition is free. The rewards are eternal. Take your seat Saturdays at 9 a.m. on 107.1 FM.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back with Jesse Lusko. He is a pastor of Calvary Church Westside in Albuquerque. Calvary Church Westside right now not open for live services, but doing
it is open.
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we're open on Sundays.
Doing some special events too on Friday nights, some movies and some other fun things. COVID, of course, is just, you know, affecting our society, decimating our society, hurting us. But despite all of that, God is in charge, and we wanted to try to provide some encouragement today to people and people that are not even dealing necessarily with COVID, but people that might have retreated into a shell or kind of by themselves or even feeling isolated. Maybe the radio today is your only friend. Jesse, I am always excited, almost like a coach mentality, that I can take somebody, again, my limited metaphors always have to do with basketball.
Yeah.
But I talk to young people all the time that you'll see a really talented athlete standing right next to an athlete that's not particularly gifted athletically, but they love the game exactly, you know, the same. They're both passionate about it. Well, we're really talking about the game of life. We're really talking about what God has for you in the future. So we don't want you to live in a world of depression, anxiety, and stress. We want you to be freed from that.
Yeah.
But it takes hard work.
Yes.
You got to put in the work.
That's true.
What does it take? I know that there's medicine and all kinds of things, but from what you've done in your research and what you've experienced personally, what does a person need to do to change things around?
Yeah, I think, you know, like I was saying before the break, it is multidimensional. And I think sometimes we want simplistic answers. You know, we want something. We're Americans, right? And we live in the digital age where you can like have something on Amazon Prime. You know, you can be watching. Oh, I want to watch that movie. I'm going to watch it right now. Boom. I downloaded it on iTunes. Duh, it's on Netflix. You know, we want instant solutions. Unfortunately, that's just not how, all the most meaningful, valuable things in life all take time. They all take perseverance. The Bible uses so many metaphors about agriculture, right? Growing something takes time. Like planting a vineyard or a beautiful orchard, growing that, cultivating it, producing fruit. It takes time. It takes patience. But I guess what I will say is this, is that, yes, medication is a part of the picture, but it's not the only part of the picture. And so this is a neuroscientist from the University of Helsinki, Eurocastian. He says, simply taking drugs is not enough. We must also show the brain what the proper connections should be. And so I'm going to just give a little more picture about anxiety, depression, kind of how the human mind works, what science and psychology has discovered. And then I'm going to bring it over to the gospel and show you what tremendous resources we have available to us in Christ that aren't available to anybody else. So when you are depressed, you have something that I think Arthur Ellis, Aaron T. Beck call cognitive distortions. And what a cognitive distortion is it distorts reality like a funhouse mirror. So maybe, you know, the first example that I was ever given that kind of illustrated this, and maybe it's very relatable to a young person, is just like, maybe you're walking down the hallway at your school and you kind of wave and smile at somebody and they don't wave and smile back. And in your brain, the depression in your brain, you get these intrusive thoughts. They're intruders. You don't want these thoughts in your head, but they intrude and they start telling you he didn't wave and smile at you because you're a loser and nobody likes you. Just like that coach made you feel like a loser. Just like your dad walked out on you. You're a failure. You never amount to anything. And it starts distorting reality. And when you're, and I've experienced this, I have clinical depression. I've been diagnosed with manic depression. When you are depressed, sometimes we just say, oh, just look on the bright side. Don't be so negative. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, there is something going on within your brain chemistry that you're having these intrusive thoughts. And when you're depressed, I can tell you, Jim, I like Charles Spurgeon, have been in depression so deep. It is like dungeons of despair underneath the castles of sorrow. It feels like you are stuck inside of a pitch black maze. And people are like, oh, just come out of that depression. Just feel better. Just have more faith, this or that. You're like, I want to come out of here, but I'm trapped in a maze. And no matter which way I turn, there's just more darkness and more depressed thinking, and it can feel incredibly hopeless. But what's super, super encouraging that both the Bible and science both say is that change is possible. And what Arthur Ellis is pointing, he developed something called cognitive behavioral therapy. He says that human thinking, emotion, and action are never really separate or disparate. They all significantly overlap and are rarely experienced in a pure state. You mainly feel the way you think. And Leni Heitzig, she was actually the first one who told me this specific little phrase, which is this: if you can change the way you think, you can change the way you feel. And even neuroscience has shown that a mindful, willful effort can change brain chemistry. And so, but what I realized is this: this is where things get, I think, hopefully really relatable and tremendous, maybe for someone who's listening who has anxiety or depression or is even dealing with suicidal thoughts. and those kinds of things, I found within my cognitive distortions that there was a connection between anxiety and idolatry. That your worries reveal what you worship. So the deepest depression I ever went through in my life was when I was planting a church up in Portland, Oregon, and after I had to resign from my church because of my bipolar diagnosis. I would have these cognitive distortions saying, you're a failure. You're never going to be a success. You're never going to be famous. You know, look, there was 200 people at church last week. Now there's only 120 people, you know, like you're never going to succeed. You might as well not even live. You know, you might as well kill yourself. Like that's what my intrusive, cognitive distortions had. But here's what I realized is that I was worshiping success. I was worshiping fame. I was worshiping what I thought would give me worth in life was if I had 500,000 followers on Instagram, you know, or what I thought would give me worth was these different things. And in the book of Colossians, Paul says that covetousness is idolatry. You know, I love talking about this, but the first commandment, what's the first commandment, Jim, of the Ten Commandments?
I don't know.
Oh, you got it. Come on. You shall have no other gods before me, right?
Yeah, there you go.
You shall have no other gods before me, right? Well, what, the last commandment of the Ten Commandments is you shall not covet. So the first commandment is you shall have no other gods before me. That's idolatry. The last commandment is you shall not covet. Well, the Greek word for covet that Paul uses in Colossians 3:5 and Ephesians 5:5 literally means the eager desire for more. And so what is our culture constantly telling us on our phones, on our devices, on Instagram, on Facebook? It's saying if you just have more followers, more money, more vacations, more sexual partners, more
bigger car,
more money, more this, more that, then you'd be happy, right? But Paul says covetousness is idolatry. And so part of freeing me from the depression and the cognitive distortions that I was dealing with was realizing like, oh man, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. It's possible to be saved, but to be still be serving idols with part of your heart. And so part of what was kind of the rewiring of my brain and interrupting those irrational cognitive distortions was realizing that I was looking for my worth in the wrong place. And I needed to truly find my worth in Christ, that I'm not saved by how cool I am. I'm saved by how cool Jesus is. I'm not saved by what a great leader I am. I'm saved by what a great leader Jesus is. I'm not saved by what a perfect pastor or shepherd I am. I'm saved by what a perfect and pastor shepherd Jesus is. And finding my worth and my identity in him, what your worries reveal what you worship. Your anxieties reveal your idolatries. And when you begin to interrupt those cognitive distortions and those intrusive thoughts with thoughts of God's word and memorizing scripture and worship and finding your hope in him, it's part of the process of being set free. But I want you to know, it's not a one and done. It's not like, oh, I prayed Jesus Christ in my heart and then all my depression went away. No, it's a process of sanctification and growth, and I think God uses our suffering for the purpose of refining us. And so that's part of the picture. Like I can't emphasize it enough. It's good to go to the doctor. It's good to find maybe a Christian counselor or a therapist, psychologist. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want to say that's not the whole picture. You need to realize what you're worshiping. You need to realize what you're looking for your meaning in life in. And that's really, for me, what has been the most transformative is realizing that my cognitive distortions, were lies.
Why is it hard for us to see ourselves as God sees us?
Man, I think that's a tale as old as time. You know, it goes back to the garden. It goes back to Eden. I think that it's the world, the flesh, and the devil. You know, there is something supernatural, there's something satanic, and then it's the world all around us. The world is constantly telling us, like, hey, you know, you're nothing unless someone loves you. You're nothing if you don't have a partner, if you're not in a relationship. You're nothing if you don't have these followers, you know, and we have those, the world constantly telling us, and then our own flesh, you know, what we inherited from Adam, our sinful nature, telling us to worship things other than God. You know, I think that's, those are all constantly, distracting us. And that's why we have to stay in the Word, remember the gospel. We have to stay in community. You know, there's this great, part in X-Men. And my son would love this illustration, but in X-Men 2, there's this evil mutant who can create illusions and he can make you see whatever he wants you to see. And, it's the climax of the film, Nightcrawler, the little blue guy who can teleport. He's there with like Halle Berry and Jean Grey, like Famke Jensen or whatever. And he's about to teleport into that place. And right before he goes, I think it's Jean Grey or Halle Berry, Storm, one of them, but they go, "Don't believe anything you see in there." And then he teleports through the wall. And I think that's what Christian community is, man. We need Christian brothers and sisters to say, "Hey, don't believe anything you see out there. Don't believe anything you see inside your mind and inside your own head. The illusions, the deceptions." That's why we need brothers in Christ. That's why we need the church, because we need some Halle Berry up in our life telling us the truth, to not believe the devil's lies and illusions that we hear from the world, the flesh, and the devil.
If you're listening right now, you need to understand what Jesse's saying. Don't believe any bad messages that are bringing you down right now. Get some fellowship. Talk with some people. A lot of people available for you to talk to about that. And even if you want to call our show here in the last segment, feel free to call Jesse at 505-338-5790. This is what Jesse does. Jesse meets with people, talks with people, encourages people. He loves to teach from the pulpit. He loves to have interpersonal communication. So if you'd like to have somebody to talk to, please give us a call, 505-338-5790. We'll be back with more from Jesse Lusco right after these messages.
We love it, but it's no secret our state is left behind in some very vital social issues. Child hunger, single parents, and abortion, to name a few. The people of God can and must take action. That's what Mission New Mexico is all about at KNKT and Star 88, this month featuring the CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque. Here's their executive director, Stephanie Luke.
We do share Christ with our clients. We let them know their value, and if they don't know their value, they're not going to value that little life inside of them.
That's Stephanie Luke from the CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque, this month's Mission New Mexico. Loving our neighbors in practical and productive ways is Christianity 101. At KNKT and Star 88, we are a megaphone for New Mexico needs as we provide a clear call to action. Find out more about supporting the CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque by clicking the Mission New Mexico link at knkt.com or star88.fm.
Listen, as Skip Heitzig applies Bible truth to our world in this hotspot.
I am intrigued by that verse because I think this verse could be said about many pulpits.
Many pulpits.
Even in our own country.
The Word of God was rare. There was no widespread revelation. This is the issue.
The issue.
Sad, but true.
Most contemporary preaching is marked by a lack of confidence in Scripture. Scripture isn't preached. It's not, "Thus says the Lord, here's the word of the Lord." I think that the modern church has become more fascinated with technology rather than theology.
Find more from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
Connectwithskip.com. And I think we need to get back to good theological through the Bible, doctrinal preaching to strengthen believers, especially in this day and age.
Grow in your faith with Skip's reading plans. Search for Skip Heitzig in the YouVersion Bible app.
Here's Rob West with a Money Wise Minute. Today, a listener writes, "We started a nursery and have used no debt, but we don't have the cash to install a well, which would pay for itself in 2 years. What should we do, particularly since lack of rain has become a bigger issue?" Well, first, I admire you for being successful so far without borrowing, but borrowing certainly isn't the unpardonable sin. If you've exhausted all other prudent options and you and your spouse have prayed about it, I'd borrow the money, but pay it off as quickly as possible. Ask God to help you pay it off early by supporting surprising you with some financial income that no one can take the credit for but God himself. Proverbs 22:7 tells us the borrower is servant to the lender, and he wants us to enjoy the freedom of not being a slave.
KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
I think all of us are experiencing quite a bit of stress and anxiety, and maybe not all the way to depression, but Jesse Lusko is in studio with us. He's a pastor of Calvary Church Westside, has dealt with a lot of these, stress, anxiety, and depression seem to kind of go together. And they also go together with things like isolation and those type of things. So Jesse, if you're listening to the program and you're hearing about this, how can you be encouraged? I guess the way I see it is the first thing you need to do is tell somebody and talk to somebody.
Yeah.
And there may need to be some medical professionals and other kinds of things involved, but the first thing you need to do is tell somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, the truth is, you know, if Satan can keep you isolated, then he can keep you decimated, man. He can destroy you. And I think, you know, creating environments at church where we are compassionate, where we're willing to show people grace and mercy, and they feel like they can come and talk and letting people know it's okay to go to a Christian counselor, a Christian therapist. It's okay to go to your doctor and talk to them. You don't have to be ashamed of that. You don't have to be humiliated of that. And the Bible says, you know, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And Jesus is you know, constantly saying, like, hey, your problem is that you say that you see. If you just would admit that you were blind, then I could heal you. But because you say you see, therefore your sin remains. And I think that is just a truth about the universe, that the only person who can't be helped is the one who won't admit that they need help. If you just admit that you need help, then man, there's hope. There's hope. There's the possibility of change. There's the possibility of growth. And so I think that's a huge part of it. And then another huge part of it is just that, we are isolated. And, 2020 has brought whole new levels of isolation. But even before 2020, 64% of college students said they felt lonely most of the time. And the consequences of social isolation are anxiety, depression, poor sleep, accelerated cognitive decline, poor cardiovascular function, impaired immunity at every stage of life. There's actually been studies showing that social isolation is comparable to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. It raises the rate of early death by 26%. You know, Jesus commanded us the most important thing is that we love one another. And so I was telling you, there was a woman who I got called. She was going to the West Side, and I got called to her house, and she was saying she was going to commit suicide, and her door was locked. And I got there, and you know, the police had already been called and these different things, but I just kind of knocked on the door and I started telling her my story. Man, I've experienced depression. I know what it's like. I'm not better than you. I'm not, you know, above you. I know how excruciating it can be. I can know how painful it could be. And she finally opened the door to me, and I ended up staying there with the police and everything. Eventually she went to UNMH, and my wife and I are having her, this was over a year ago, but my wife and I are having her over for dinner tonight. Why? Because that's what people need. They need to feel loved. They need to feel like they're not alone. That's what Jesus said the greatest commandment is that we would love one another the way that he loved us. Well, how did Jesus love us? Well, he left eternity and entered into time for us. And in John 15, he says that I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. And part of being a Christian is just being a good friend. If Jesus can enter into time for people, then we as Christians need to make time for people. And by just making time for people, it is staggering how much just having a friend can make a difference with somebody who's struggling with anxiety and depression. And so You know, I would say there are great churches all around the state. You know, I work at Calvary, obviously, but there's great churches. And, you know, be willing to maybe get on one of those Zoom Connect groups. Maybe you don't feel comfortable because of the virus. You know, you can go to a community group online. Something is better than nothing. And I think that's tremendous. But there's one thing that I want to say maybe more than anything else. And that's simply this, is just that, when I was living in Redlands, California, and I had just lost my church up in Portland, I was experiencing intrusive thoughts of suicide like 24 hours a day. Just excruciating. Like being alive felt like walking on two broken ankles. You know, that's what it felt like. It felt like, you know, depression had turned my brain into a nest of cobras, you know, a viper's nest. But I kept reading the word. I would just scream worship songs at the top of my lungs. And I kept pursuing Jesus. But this youth pastor, he didn't even know I was depressed, but he told me this line, and I try to tell everybody this line. A middle school girl had hung herself in Redlands, and in reference to her, this youth pastor, I don't even know his name, but he just said, suicide doesn't end your pain. It transfers it to everyone you love. And, when you are in that kind of pain, you want to take your own life. You know, you sit there thinking like, I just want the pain to end. Maybe everybody would be better off without me. If you're listening to me right now, I need you to know this, that your life matters. And Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he would love to cause you to start a chain reaction of despair. You know, those people are around you, research shows that they will be exponentially more likely to battle depression. They will be exponentially more likely to even commit suicide themselves, you know, and I just want you to know that you are loved, that you matter to God. There are people who do care about you more than you realize. They will be devastated, and suicide doesn't end your pain. It transfers it to everyone you love. It makes it exponential, and so I held on to that, and I would say the names of people that I love and just chant their names and say, I'm not going to do that. And it gave me the power to persevere, and so I just feel like people need to know that. They need to know that suicide isn't the solution. It actually just makes more problems for everybody else, and makes more pain for everybody else. And so you've got to be willing to persevere, and you've got to know that things can get better. Because here's the truth. As depressed as I was in Redlands, you know, back in 2018, days came after that where I would sit there and I would be in the sun, or I'd be with my kids, or I'd be doing ministry, or I'd be doing this, or I'd be doing that. And I would go, I'm so glad to be alive right now. I'm so glad that I persevered. I'm so glad that I looked unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And I'm glad that I endured. Looking unto him, he gave me endurance. I ran the race with endurance. And I just want to tell you, as depressed as you are, if you're stuck in that pitch black maze right now, sitting on your couch in the middle of coronavirus, feeling depressed, maybe you lost your job, you want to just kill yourself, you want to take your own life and give up, I want you to know there is going to be a day ahead of you where you're glad you didn't do that. There's going to be a day ahead of you where the pain and the sorrow is over, and you're glad that you persevered, and you just got to keep going.
I want to go even farther. Not only are you going to be glad you didn't take your own life, but you're going to see some miraculous things that God will do with you, just like he has with Mr. Jesse Luscombe.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
And you go forward. I'm thinking, Jesse, and we only have about a minute left, but I'm thinking about some people that are isolated, that don't appear to be isolated, that may be faced with this. Our first responders. Police officers.
Yes.
They're just almost being picked on, not honored, not blessed. And I can just imagine there's a lot of them that need some friends.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would just say, you know, I can relate with you as a pastor. You know, maybe you feel like you got to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. You got to be the tough guy. But, you know, even heroes need saving sometimes. And so be willing to reach out, and you'll be amazed the way God meets you through people.
Amen. Thank you, Jesse, for joining us today.
Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.